here's something that gets striking about this. How do we get better at becoming Christian? How does the form of Christ in our hearts grow and deepen and make us better Christians? Not by practice, not by good works, not by following the Ten Commandments, but by, once again, the law and the gospel. The law terrifying us, the gospel comforting us. Luther has this profound and shocking thing to say. The Christian life is divided into two times, he says. The time of law, the time of grace. All the time, Christians are swinging back and forth between being terrified, anxious, worried about what God will judge us and how he'll judge us, and the time of grace when we receive the gospel. Our conscience is always hearing. Its ears are always open, unless, of course, you're smug and not hearing anything. But Christians are always have their ears open, and thus are always shaped either by law or gospel. So long as we live in the flesh that is not free of sin, so long the law keeps coming back and performing its function of terrifying us, so that we keep turning to Christ. That's what trains us in Christianity, is this continual need to flee from the terror of the law and embrace the comfort of the gospel. And it's a serious time of law. It's a serious hard time. The time of law means that we wish there was no law. We wish there was no punishment, no hell, and finally, no God. We wish God would leave us alone and stop this. That's what the time of law is like. Luther says it happens every day, right, in the life of a Christian, in whom is found the time of law and the time of grace, in constant alternation. It's always happening. You're either listening to the gospel or listening to the law. Here's how he describes it in his own life. The time of law is when the law disciplines, vexes, and saddens me, when it brings me to a knowledge of sin and increases it. There are many hours when I argue with God and fight back at him impatiently. The wrath and judgment of God are displeasing to me. On the other hand, my impatience and grumbling are displeasing to him. This is the time of law under which a Christian always exists according to the flesh. You know, at the same time, just and a sinner. This is the sinner part of it. It's a lot, and well, after that then comes the time of grace and comfort and joy. It's a lot like a marriage where people are, the two couples, you know, the two people are fighting all the time, then making up, then fighting, then making up. They can't live without each other, but they have to fight in order to continue the marriage. The Christian life for Luther is intense and extraordinarily volatile, and that's what trains us in Christianity. That's what forms Christ in our hearts. And because it's all depending on what you hear, right? You're not able to tell how you're doing and how Christ is present in your heart by looking at yourself. You have to look away. For Luther, what faith does is it always looks away from itself at the Word, never looks at itself. If you're looking at yourself, you're going to see temptation. You're going to see wrath of God. You're going to see a conscience that is in anguish. Faith, says Luther, snatches us away from ourselves and places us outside ourselves, so that we do not depend on our own strength or conscience or experience or person or works, but on that which is outside ourselves, that is, on the promise and truth of God, which cannot deceive. That's precisely Christian experience, looking away from all experience and believing only the promise. That's how you get to be an experienced Christian, not by your feelings, but by having the experience over and over again of turning to that promise, depending on that promise. Because without it, you have nothing but terror, helpless, helpless terror. You can't run away. You can't find comfort. Everything seems to accuse you. And then you hear the gospel. And then it's comfort and joy. Couple of notes. Luther will call the righteousness of faith passive because you don't get it by doing stuff. But the righteousness of faith is not passive in the sense of it's not as if it's not a struggle. I want to say, right? It's a struggle the way suffering is a struggle. Even when you're in a situation where there's nothing you can do but struggle, nothing you can do but feel awful, it feels like a struggle, doesn't it? When there's nothing you can do but suffer, it's still a struggle. That's what faith is like in the time of law. It's not passive in the sense of not trying to hang on to Christ, not trying to struggle against this temptation and fear. Also, faith is passive in the sense it doesn't judge for itself. Right? Faith is not based on reason. It's not based on figuring it out for yourself. Right? It simply believes that what God says is true. It's passive in that sense. It makes no judgments for itself. Here, I think, is maybe the deepest moment of faith for Luther. When you're really in a struggle, you're suffering, there's nothing you can do, In the midst of terror, Luther says, there's this roar of hatred for God. But in the midst of it, there is emitted a little sigh, which silences and drowns out that violent roaring, and nothing remains in your heart but the sigh that says, Abba, Father. That's the opposite of that hatred of God which happens when you wish that God would stop using his law against you, the sigh of the Spirit, which comes from that Pauline passage where the Spirit sighs too deeply for words. The sigh of the Spirit is the wish that God's promise would be true, even when you can't really believe it. And that's the deepest faith of all, is to want God's word to be true, even when it's hard to believe.